He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
All right, that's right. I'm Drew Berquist. This is my show. Reminder, we're bringing Booze and Banter back Friday. It will be here. It'll be live. It'll be with good friend of the show, former law enforcement officer Ray Dietrich. Look forward to bringing that to you, so make sure not to miss that for today. For today, I'm going to get into something that's not necessarily tied to the news cycle, but it is. It's tied to every element of the news cycle every day in a multitude of ways, and you'll get what I'm saying. And it's clear, as we have this conversation today and as we find ourselves in the position that we find ourselves in as a country, that we, Americans, don't really like each other anymore. We don't agree on what this country even is anymore. And it's sad and it's stupid. It just befuddles me that we're even here. But alas, we are. And we're this tribal state. I compare it so frequently to what I've seen and experienced in Afghanistan and Iraq, and how tribal some of these third world countries are. And we're no different. We're just a red versus blue tribe. And then the different factions, even within red and blue. Sure, the spiritual piece comes into it. There's some different groups and organizations out there as well. But for the most part, this country is divided on a partisan line. And then those sublines within. And the stuff that we're fighting over. Man, I mean, think about it. If you were fighting about something that was real substantive, real important to the success and well-being of this country, it would be one thing. But the stuff we're fighting over is ridiculous. It's absurd. Sure, the issues that we're battling over are in vogue. They're all the rage. Whether it's LGBTQ stuff, whether it's pronoun stuff, Black Lives Matter stuff, Antifa stuff, what is a white supremacist? What is an extremist? But regardless of what those issues are, and you know all the ones I'm talking about, we could list it. We could literally just spend the show listing issues that we talk about that are stupid. But regardless of what they are, almost all of them are not national issues. Prominent issues that need to be front and center. Are they issues? Some of them, yes. Should they be national? Should they be the most talked about thing in the mainstream media or on social media? No. But they're being pushed by the left with clear intent. And the right's not without guilt on this either. But when it comes to a lot of the issues that we are talking about, particularly when it comes to social issues, they're being pushed by the left, not out of them giving love to those people and supporting those people who identify as this or identify as that, but with the very clear intent of dividing us. And they do it like when Democrats pander to urban and minority communities. Every election cycle, I don't care if it's Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, you name it. And then as we've talked about and we've proven on the show, they never do anything to help them. Nothing. They do nothing to help them. The same is true with the very small transgender population. The Black Lives Matter movement. Antifa. Democrats increasing and more outspoken support for Palestine. Choosing them over our longstanding ally in Israel, etc. Calls for radical legislation, whatever that legislation du jour is, whatever the case. The Democrats, are rarely in actual and legitimate support of it. They are behind the podium. Now, there's people who are passionate and all about it. AOC, she's dumb as a pile of bricks, but I will give her credit where credit is due. She is passionate about some of the issues and policies that she puts forward. They are stupid, they are ludicrous, but she actually means it. She actually stands by what she says. Even though she doesn't understand what she says, she stands by it. But most of the Democrats and politicians aren't. And again, that goes for a lot of GOPers too. but they rather use it as a tool, as a method to get votes, further divide the country, paint conservatives and others as bigots and fascists, all these people. And when you push back, you see it. When you push back against them, they say you're a radical. Oh, you're a bigot, you're a fascist, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, transphobe, what have you, whatever the case might be. Then the echo chamber starts, and we get more and more and more division. But I'll say again, these people only care about votes, which is, of course, currency for power. And power is what they're after, power and control. How do you get that? You need votes. You need people on your side. You need these other people who are seeing and realizing the truth out of the way, marginalized. So keep that in mind with everything, because it's an important undercurrent with every discussion that's going on out there. But for now, as we, as a country, not we here, we as a country, can't even agree on whether America is a good place anymore. Newsflash, it is. It's still the best place on the planet to live, to chase your dreams, to raise a family, all of that. We can't decide whether the flag or the national anthem is racist. It's not. It's not. It's not even a question. It's being discussed, but it's not a fair, reasonable, or legitimate question. If we could agree on what our key national issues, if we could all just say, okay, hey, let's agree to disagree on this, that, and the other, but let's agree on something. Let's agree on these things that are very important to the well-being of our country. Again, not emotional issues, passion projects for people, but real national issues. In a better world, we could find some common ground. We could. And I get right off the bat, you're saying it, Drew, and I know this, and if you listen to my show, you know that I know this. It's not going to happen. We're beyond repair with all of this. And I also, for the record, think that people should have their passion projects, their ideas, their policies that they're all about, and they get behind. But the thing is none of those matter. None of those matter without these three issues that we're going to discuss being addressed, handled, taken care of first. And maybe the three that I want to discuss will matter down the road in like an American divorce scenario, some kind of split up, God forbid a fight. Maybe they matter more then, like they used to, because they really did. These issues we're going to talk about today, they used to matter. These topics used to matter, and there used to be a pretty high degree of agreement on them. But they should matter now. They should matter now. We'll get to those in a second. But real quick, be sure to smash that like button if you haven't. Thumbs up, plus sign over on Rumble, wherever you're watching. Hit that like button. If you're on YouTube, also hit that subscribe button. And then click the bell notification down in the right corner, in lower right corner of the screen. You've seen it. Make sure if you've done it before that it's still there, that you've still subscribed, that you still have notifications coming. You've clicked all notifications. We will not spam you. Today's episode is brought to you by Red Beach Nation. Red Beach Nation provides conservative beachwear for freedom-loving Americans. Whether you live at the beach or traveling to one or just want to imagine yourself there, Red Beach's comfy patriotic apparel is sure to lift your spirits. Check them out at redbeachnation.com. Use promo code Drew to save 10%. Again, that's redbeachnation.com. Use promo code Drew to save 10%. All right, so issue number one that must be handled as a country, if we're going to survive anything, past, present, future, and even be able to discuss everything else that matters to people on an individual and community level, without a shadow of a doubt, is national security. It's national security. If you aren't free, you can't be worrying about other issues. If you aren't safe or alive, you can't worry about other issues. It's really simple. If we don't protect our nation, its people, its freedoms, from the literally endless list of threats that we face, and that list grows by the second, by the way. People don't talk about all the scary, bad stuff out there. People don't like to talk about the real world because it threatens them. It makes them feel uncomfortable. But that list is growing by the second. But if we can't address that, we can't take care of that, keep our country, our community safe, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And I think that protecting our border and enforcing our laws are in here too, because they tie directly into national security and the safety and security, again, of our states, cities, local communities. If it's not safe to go out, if you're under constant and legitimate threats, then nothing else gets done. Nothing gets done. You're spinning your wheels. And so obviously, being the world power that we are, everyone wants to unseat us. China, Russia. Think about it, almost everyone, but those two are the closest, would love to be number one. They'd love to be number one. And then you've got extremist groups, terrorist groups, cartels, all sorts of nasty, violent individuals around the globe that want to kill us. Whether for ideological reasons, financial reasons, you name it. Again, the list goes on and on. We face threats everywhere. Everywhere. And we still have, thank God, the most badass military in the land, on the planet. It's starting to come into question some, sure, with the wokeism that's happening. Some of the ridiculous mandates that are happening, whether it's discussion of forcing our people to take vaccines, forcing them to take critical race theory classes, the transgender stuff that's happened there. Regardless of where you stand on that, that should not be the main issue with the military. Again, the military has a very specific goal and purpose, and the people who work there have a very specific goal and purpose, and they need to be committed and focused on that. That doesn't mean that they can't have other passions and issues. It doesn't mean that they can't identify as this or that. It just means that the issue and the mission is the mission. So a lot of that's happening, but it's happening mostly in the upper echelons. It's not the folks on the ground. The men and women who signed up to go and do God's work are doing great things, but it's the careerists, it's the people who are appointed. It's all of that. And seeing how much things have been politicized is scary. It's very scary. But it's still the best. The U.S. military, our national security apparatus, is still the best. We spend the most. It's estimated that we spent, $767 billion, thereabouts, last year on military expenses. China, who obviously is doing anything and everything they can, attacking us in cyberspace every day, attacking us in the intel world, trying to get plans, information, anything they can to chip away at us. And all of these people, by the way, sowing, just like the Democrats are, disinformation and distrust among Americans, division among Americans. They're doing anything and everything they can to take us down. But they're still way behind us. It's estimated they spent about $260 billion. But even so, even with them catching up, even with us being ahead, Russia, by the way, trailing way behind. $67 billion. It's important that we continue to make that a priority. It's important that we continue to keep our country and all of its systems going, and you cannot have them going if you're not safe, if you do not have national security. And one of the problems that we face is, yes, we spend more. Yes, we are better now, but we as a national security, as a country, but and specifically, if you've worked in government or military, you know this. As a national security apparatus, we have shiny ball syndrome. I mean, we got it so bad. I wish there was a magic pill for it. There's not. But we've got shiny ball syndrome. We focus on this state actor and then don't spend enough time and money or resources on the others. Are we spending some? Yes. But we focus laser focused on this country. And then this country gets caught up, and people are like, oh, where did they come from? How did we get here? Well, you were only focused on this, or you were primarily focused on this. We focus on Al-Qaeda and forget about other offshoot groups that are forming, wreaking havoc in certain regions, gaining steam. We saw what happened with ISIS. We've seen this time and time again. Oh, we're going to focus now on Iraq, and then this place goes to hell. We're going to focus back on here now, then that place goes to hell. Then we get the bright idea, like we always do, of nation building. And then make that our emphasis, instead of remembering what actually brought us to X, Y, or Z country. We need to take it all serious. We need to devote more, not less, resources to it. But again, it's not just China. It's not just Russia that we're worried about. It's our border, which is seeing record-breaking numbers come across. The Democrats are spending billions of dollars, people. Billions of dollars, not to help Customs and Border Patrol or to complete the wall that had so much progress made under President Trump, but they're spending billions of dollars to actually stop building the wall. Stop building it. And they're making inhumane conditions for these illegal immigrants, impossible work situations for our DHS and CBP officials, local authorities, all the brave men and women who are down doing what they're doing on the U.S.-Mexico southwest border. And they're in the process making our country less safe. Again, forgetting the fact that as the country becomes less and less safe, less and less secure, there's less and less ability and security for us to have conversations about whatever topic du jour you want to discuss. So you could say, oh, but we as a country, we as America, we need to love and welcome everyone. It's the humane thing to do. It's the humane thing to do. We need to take care of them. And they say that, and they say it all the time. All right, fine. Let's go there. I disagree. I don't think it's our job. That doesn't mean I'm heartless and don't care for them. I do. I hate what some of those people are going through. But you first of all need to understand that on the border right now, we're making it worse for these people, not better. The conditions are awful. Awful. You've seen the reports. Overcrowded. There's still separation going on. There's disease. It's inhumane what's being done to these people. And we're screwing over in the process our people that are down there to protect us from these people, from the diseases they bring, from the threats that they bring. And we're bringing our national security and the health of our country, both physically and fiscally, into serious question. It's simple, people. A country without borders is not a country. We have to take care of number one first. That goes for you on a personal level, and on a country level, it goes for us. We got to have strong policies. We got to have strong procedures in place before we help others. I always say this. We are so much better positioned to help others when we've got our own shit in order. And we know that extremists, cartel members, other operatives, whether it's from Iran, Quds Force, who you name it, nefarious state actors, are capitalizing daily. And it's not just now. This has been the case forever, capitalizing on our weak and porous border. It's just that much worse now because we're seeing record-breaking figures of individuals come across, and we're seeing our government literally abandon our laws in the name of doing what they feel is right, which again comes down to votes. But so if you care about all these social issues, you're a bleeding heart liberal, whatever the case might be, fine. But please understand, because it's important, that we are chipping away, or maybe since you guys love climate change and all of that stuff, we are eroding by doing this. We are eroding our safety and security as a country. And not just for the communities and towns that are along the border. It's all over. We've seen the reports of people getting there, getting thrown in a van or a bus, shuttled to some other city to deal with across the country. All over the country. And after a while, you go down this stretch, and there's no safety or security left. And you can't, as a result, you can't do anything. Protect yourself, your family. Certainly there's not time or safety to bitch about equity in this social issue or that social issue. Bottom line, without national security, strong, devoted national security that allows our Constitution, our freedoms, all of that to thrive. Everything that our founding fathers wanted for this country. Without that, we're nothing. We're nothing. So can we please agree that of the three things we're going to talk about today, that we should first and foremost all be able to agree they're important and they should be the most important national issues, but that national security specifically is the most important one. Because without it, all other issues do not matter. We'll get to the others after a real quick break. Stick around. Men, we have a lot of serious problems in the world. Some are outside of our control and some are very much within. And one that you can control without a shadow of a doubt is what's happening south of your border. And I'm not talking about the southwest border. I'm talking about your junk. And UFM underwear for men has the solution. Most men's underwear these days don't provide actual support. They just smash your goods against your thigh, resulting in sweating, sticking, rubbing, all sorts of nasty stuff. Ladies, don't act like you haven't seen your man try to navigate his way out of such awkward situations. It's no good for anyone. But the good news is UFM's patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions, all because of their unique drawstring adjustable support pouch, which allows you to increase the support to your preference, and it provides actual support. What a novel concept. Just think of it like social distancing, but in your pants. UFM moves with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. They're great for sports, work, everyday use, and even some medical applications as well. So support your manhood, treat yourself right, you deserve it, men. Go to UFMunderwear.com, use promo code Drew to get $6 off.
With big tech's rampant hatred for conservative thought and their devious suppression tactics, Drew and This Is My Show is staring down uncertainty like never before. You can support the show by continuing to listen, watch, engage, and share. And you can play an even bigger role by donating to the show. You can do so directly at drewberquist.com, then click support. Any amount is helpful in our fight with big tech, and individuals that hit certain thresholds will be given producer credits on This Is My Show episodes. Again, that's drewberquist.com, then click support and get engaged with the fight. Served this country fighting extremists overseas and now exposes radical democratic extremists right here at home. This is Drew Berquist and this is his show.
All right, welcome back. So we covered the first. I said there's three. And there's, look, obviously this is not a set number. It's not a set number, but I think that there's at least three issues that we should be able as a country to agree upon as being extremely important and the priority in order for us to then cascade down and have other issues that we can talk about, agree upon, disagree upon, what have you. National security, in my eyes, unequivocally the number one issue. Because without it, you don't have safety and security to do or worry about anything else. But the next two, and we'll cover them both here. And reminder, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, crazy day at the studio. We should call it Truncated Tuesday or something. So the episode wraps up a little bit earlier on Tuesdays than normal, but we'll look forward to having a full-length one tomorrow. But the next two issues, are economy and education. And look, it's obvious. A company, or a country, company too, but a country can't thrive without a good economy. Everything is working when you've got a good economy. I mean, look at how good things were working. This is not about President Trump or any candidate or president for that matter, any political party. He was a conservative. Our economy was killing it. Pre-pandemic, killing it. And you see how that increases everything. Jobs, opportunities. And every market ends up thriving because of it. People have more money to spend, more money to take care of their family and their loved ones. Companies grow. Companies open new locations. They need to hire new people. Jobless numbers go down, and the job figures go up. There's so many positive things that come from that. And we should be able to agree that we've gotten this far, and I know we won't, but we've gotten this far on our capitalist ideologies, our free ideologies that have guided and governed us for this long. The left is pushing back really, really hard with a different plan. And I'm telling you, all of the things that they want to do, the radical left, whether it's increased minimum wage, whether it's free this, free that, obviously anyone who's been to school, and we're going to talk about school in a second here, understands that there's no such thing as a free lunch. It has to get paid from somewhere. So those are disastrous, and they put significant pressure. They exert a ton of pressure on other parts of the economy in the country when you try to push those things through that on their face, not all of them sound bad. Who doesn't like free stuff? Who wouldn't like this? But table for a second the fact that it's not fair, you know, if you repay college loans for everyone, that everyone who's done that, who's busted their ass, taken out a loan that was their responsibility to take on and pay off, did the right thing and gets no benefit. But everyone else moving forward, this young generation who's being taught left and right that they don't have to work that hard, that everything else will take care of it for you. The government will take care of it for you. The system will take care of it for you. That's not fair. But table that. You take a big ass chunk of money from here and redirect it to here. Something else or something else, some things, excuse me, plural, are going to suffer. Look, you do not have to, I'm not an economist. You do not have to be an economist to see that some of the stuff that they are talking about doesn't work. So have your social issues, have your causes that you want to do, have some areas that you want to spend money that you think we as a country should put more emphasis on. But let's have that debate after we get to the point where everyone is in a good position. The greater majority is in a good position. We can't fix things for everyone all the time. Never going to happen. Imperfect humans running an imperfect world. If you're striving for 100% down here, you're not going to get it. But let's get the economy strong where job figures are up, investments are up, everything is going in the right direction like it was. And then figure out and vote on whether we want to spend money on some other issues, endeavors, and talk very clearly about what the ramifications would be if that went through and that new policy was put in place. But the bottom line is, and this is simple, again, I'm not an economist, and I'm not going to go into depth on it because I think it would be a more boring show, and I don't think it takes rocket science to understand that a good economy is good for everyone. It's good for the country. It's good for the world. Remember, the world needs America to be strong. That means sticking up for ourselves, sticking up for our allies, paying attention to that first issue we talked about, national security. But the world needs our economy, our dollar, to be worth something. For our industries to be... You get it. You get the point. We should agree that that's a good thing. Let's get everyone there. Let's get everyone there. And then once we're there, once we're safe, once we have a good economy, we can start talking about the other issues. That needs to be the formula. Not, hey, let's forego national security. That's mean. That's racist. That's cruel. That's inhuman. Whatever. Let's forego rewarding people for hard work and just distribute it evenly. No, both of those things are stupid. And when you do that, you chip away at, or again, I'll say erode, all the other opportunities, safety and security that we have to discuss the issues that you want to discuss, that someone else wants to discuss. You got to focus on the major things first. We're so good as a country at majoring in the minors. We got to stop. We got to stop. We're at death's doorstep right now as a republic. And again, I don't think or know for certain that we can get off of it. It might just be, let's go through this next door and see what it looks like. Maybe it's two countries. Hell, maybe it's more. Maybe it's a fight. I don't know. But if we could get back on track and look at some of these issues the key issues, focus on, agree upon, mostly. We're not going to agree on everything, mostly. Come to some terms and solutions that work for the greater good, then we can talk about the other stuff. But one of the things that we face and one of the problems that we're having all of these discussions about issues that, again, I know are important to some people, but they are not national issues. There's a huge distinction there. Is because of what's being fed to our children and our young adults in the education system. And that third thing, education, ties in and is important and should be agreed upon for everyone. And I certainly know we're not going to agree upon this as a country. But for obvious reasons, better education leads to better opportunities, better advancement in industries here as a country, which leads to economy, which leads to potentially national security, leads to all those things. They all dovetail and are intertwined with each other. But the bigger reason that education is that third major issue, and you could almost argue that it's equally important with number one, national security, because enemies don't always come from the outside. We're seeing that, we're living that, and experiencing that more than ever right now. But you could argue that it's right up there at the tippy top, education, because for decades, decades upon decades, we knew it happened a little bit at the collegiate level. We've been experiencing death by a thousand cuts. And credit where credit's due. The Marxist Democrats, the radical Democrats who are pushing this new ideology, this new way of life that they want to become America. Because remember, they don't love America. They say they do. But you can't love America and at the same time say, but we want to do all these things that would radically change how it looks, feels, tastes, smells, whatever. That's not loving something. That's saying I want something completely different. So don't mistake that when they say, oh, we love America. We want to do what's right for all Americans. Okay, what are your policies? Your policies mean changing everything for all Americans? Changing everyone's lives? The rules, giving yourself the power, no one else? No, that's not loving America. That's loving your idea. But education has been a sore spot for us because we've known to some extent that people are being indoctrinated and there's some propaganda and there's some crazy liberal professors who smoke weed all day or do whatever they do and then they get up there and say, this is the way. This is the way. And they teach people what to think, not how to think. We want contributing members of society. That's what school is supposed to do. Educate them, make our workforce smarter, make our country better. Teach them how to think so they come up with clever, innovative ideas, inventions, solutions, you name it. But instead, it's just become an indoctrination machine. People are chastised for having conservative or Christian values. And they're taught what to think, not how to think. And we've let this problem fester and grow for so long to the point where now we are in this situation where there are generations who are ashamed of America, who have been taught a different version of who we actually are, a different version of history. And we have some dark parts of history. Man, do we ever. Make sure you understand who is behind some of those dark parts of history, because the Democrats will never identify that. It's not always them. It sure is a lot of the time. But we have some dark parts in history, but we're supposed to learn from history so we don't repeat it. We've all heard that. We've seen it a million times. It makes sense. It's a smart and logical approach to life. But these people want to not only change history, avoid discussing it, or erase parts of it, but then they've added in this part where, by the way, America sucks. You suck. You were born white. Oh my gosh, you're the worst thing ever. You were born American. You're the worst thing ever. And they teach this hatred. They teach this division, which doesn't just divide the country, it divides families, communities. And for a while we thought, oh man, some of these schools are teaching that, or some of these professors are teaching that. And then it became some of these schools are teaching, the Ivy League schools are awful. And wow, the liberal arts schools across the country, some of the public ones, state ones are bad too. Now it's become, they all just are. Like, where do you send people now? I know there's a few outliers, but in general, where do you send people? Colleges are more concerned about safe spaces and teaching anything and everything but freedom and love of country. I mean, you see the stats. There's so many reports out there. 39% of college campuses are Republican free when it comes to full-time faculty, according to this study. I mean, there's some crazy numbers. You look at this one here. Voter registration candidate contributions for a sample of more than 12,000 professors nationwide, several of the top schools in each state. Nearly 50% are registered Democrats. Only 5.7 are registered Republicans. 8.5 to 1. 8.5 to 1. In terms of donations, they looked at a little almost 2,100 professors who gave exclusively to Democrats. Only 22 gave to Republicans. 95 to 1. 95 to 1. They even found there's a lot of people who are registered Republicans that gave to Democrats too, which again is fine. You can be a Democrat. You can be registered that way. You can vote that way. That's not the issue. The issue is these people, and you hear countless stories. We've shown countless videos here, are not just Democrat, but they're of this radical Marxist Democrat ideology that are teaching your kids to go against everything that you ever taught them growing up, everything that their elementary school teachers, youth pastors taught them growing up. They're feeding them pure and utter propaganda. And for the ones who are out there who are pushing back, liberal or Republican, who are just saying, here's the course material, we're just going to talk about it, and you tell me what your interpretation is, and let's have a discussion. Kudos to you. And for the 2.5 Republicans that are still out there teaching and weathering the storm, as their colleagues no doubt call for them to be fired and canceled and all of this stuff, God bless you, because we need you. But we've let this problem fester and grow so much to the point where now we're not just worried about enemies like China and Russia. We're not worried about ISIS and cartels. We are, and we need to be. But we need to be worried about the enemy within, which is our population revolting and saying, we're awful. This country's awful. It's a really bad thing. It's a really scary time, folks. It's a really scary time. You've got folks out there like Mike Rowe who are always pushing, you know, go to trade schools, college isn't for everyone. I don't know if it's for your kid or if it's not for your kid. I haven't decided what I'm going to do. I've got some time, thank God. But we are being attacked, and they have done it so cleverly in how they've used the school system to push this stuff. And it's not just at college anymore. It's not just at high school anymore. It's middle school. It's elementary school. They're normalizing all sorts of stuff. Hell, there's transgender storybook times in VPK and kindergarten in some states. We've got to push back against this. And I know that the left is not going to say, well, we agree education has to be important. We want to teach it the way we want to teach it. That's what they're going to say. But if we could, in this oh-so-broken world, if we could get to the point where we could agree on three issues, and those three issues that we could get at least the vast majority to say, okay, we concur there. We're going to disagree on a lot of other stuff, but we concur on national security, the economy, and education. We'd be in a hell of a lot better spot than we are now. But we're not. We're not. So I think we need to focus our efforts there. And then when it comes to actual politics, I say it all the time, we got to make local sexy. We've got to focus our efforts on local and state initiatives, school board, city council, state legislature, governors. That's what's going to matter moving forward. The other stuff is more sexy. It has always been seen that way. Federal elections, presidential elections, the Senate, Congress, you name it. You have to focus on local. We got to nail these other three issues, and we've got to focus on local and bring about change there. And like we talked about yesterday on the show, we've got to get behind people who do the most good for us. No one's going to agree with us and execute every policy that we want done. But the people who do the most good for us are the ones we have to rally behind. And if they're not there, then jump your ass in the seat and you do it. Find someone else who can do it and put support behind them. Whatever the case might be, it has to be pushed back against. It has to be done starting at the local level, and it has to be now. Has to be now. All right, folks, we had some transmission issues yesterday. If you were listening or watching to the show, we're going to be doing some different things this week, testing some different things. Still engaging. We'll be premiering videos on YouTube, Facebook, uploading them over to Rumble. Still engaging via the chat. But we want to be sure to give you the best quality. And whether it's big tech, whether it's the broadcasting service that we use, whether it's the internet provider that we use, and whether there's nefarious reasons for what's happening to our broadcast, or whether it's just circumstantial, we don't know. I don't want to speculate, but it has been happening. It's happened a lot. Yesterday was bad. We got lots of complaints about it, which we are terribly sorry about. We just also can't control. So we're going to be doing this. There'll be some that are purely live, some that are premiered as live. We'll still be in the chat. You'll still be in the chat. The community will still be there. But our goal is to always bring you the best product we can, the best discussion, the best quality image and sound, all of that. It all matters. So that's where we're at this week. We appreciate your comments and questions. But if you didn't get a live feedback response or a name call out today, that's why. And we'll keep you posted on all of that stuff as we go throughout the week. Reminder, there will be a live Booze and Banter Friday, 3 p.m. Ray Dietrich, former law enforcement officer, good friend of the show, doing a lot of awesome stuff in the conservative digital media space right now. He'll join us. We'll have a great conversation. We're looking forward to that. So we hope you join us. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be here Thursday, all week. So glad to be back with you. Be safe out there, folks. Be smart. Be free. And we'll see you tomorrow.